Welcome to Radio Diary. We don't just exist, we live and we experience, and so we all have stories to tell. Brought to you by BBS Radio. People say that addiction is not an issue, but how you deal with that issue. And I believe that it holds a lot of truth. One of the greatest joys and heartbreaks for human beings comes from the fact that we feel a little too much sometimes. This week's Recovery Diary is about one such individual whose fragility and strength are both evident in his soft, unwavering eyes and demeanor. It is fascinating how life breaks us but gives us so many opportunities to stand up again. This is the story of Lam Doji, who was brave enough to take that opportunity.
My name is Lam Doji, and I'm a recovering addict. And this is my second term in the treatment, and I've been clean for almost 5 months now.
Okay, so everyone has some stories to tell. So what is your story? And can you provide us a timeline from when you were a child to now? How did you reach here?
I started drinking since 1991, I think. And my mom expired, and I'm with my dad. What happened was my dad, he went with the stepmother, and we are left alone. So I think then I got inspired. Yeah, there's nobody to care me. Yeah, then I started drinking since my childhood days. I couldn't qualify, and this is my second time in treatment. First, in the year 2009, I went for treatment. It kept me was clean and sober for 7 years. Again, I relapsed, and this is my second time in treatment, and I'm running on 5 months clean and sober.
As long as you start again, that's what it matters. And like you said, your mother dying when you were at such a young and tender age, that played a huge role in you becoming an addict. So how do you remember your mother? Would you like to describe her?
Yeah, she's the one who forces me and my brother to go to the school. Yeah. All the time, she used to take us to the school, and during the lunch break also, because it's nearby my home, the school was nearby my home. So we are engaged in playing, but then mother, she used to come and take us for lunch. She used to scold us also.
So overall, she was a good mother. Would you say that she was a very good and very kind mother?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And talking about your father finding a stepmother, like, was she like the typical stepmother that, you know, media portrays? Was she nice to you and your siblings?
Yeah, my stepmom, she's also my second mother. I consider her as my second mother. Mm-hmm. Yep, she treats us well. But then the problem was that we are staying separately. So my dad, he stays with the stepmother, and we are left alone with my brother. So that's what I feel. I feel like I'm abandoned. Yeah.
Okay, at such a young age, you would definitely feel like you were abandoned, especially without your mother, I understand. So there is a childhood trauma at play here. How did you cope with your childhood trauma, and how did it affect you?
Regarding my trauma, I continued using since I attended the treatment center in the year 2009. So before that also, I was working in one of the civil servants. There also, I used to drink. And I was into other substances as well, like pharmaceutical tablets and the inhalants. Now, I can't see others' mom also, calling them mom and celebrating Mother's Day and all. Yeah.
That is very heartbreaking when you say it, when you put it like that. Human emotions, it either breaks you or make you. So your emotions and your memories of your mother have definitely a huge role to play in shaping you. What core emotions did you feel growing up and still right now?
Right now, I'm feeling like after attending the program, and I could realize that it's natural. nature, the deadly is nature. You can't bring it back. So right now I'm feeling okay lah. Okay, so I can cope up with it.
As long as there's hope, sir, it's fine. And I can't help but notice that you have very sad and very kind eyes, sir. So everyone has, you know, wounds that need to be healed. So how did this center play a role in healing your wounds?
Really, I'd like to say that this center helped me a lot. The counselors over here, yep, regarding my personal counselor, yes, and others as well, yep, they are so helpful. They can see what I'm going through, and they used to come and talk with me. I used to share them. And they suggested some tips and all. So I tried, and right now I'm feeling a bit better, I should say. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling better right now.
Especially when it comes to recovery, you must have that one moment, that epiphany, when you thought that I need to do something, I need to reclaim myself, and I need to choose the path to recovery. So when did that happen to you?
I would like to talk about my first treatment. Mm-hmm. And that happened when my father, my dad told me that if you continue drinking and using drugs, then he want me to leave home, and he told me that he will cut my senses as well. Yeah, that made me change myself.
Okay, so that was a very drastic step that he needed to take. It was for you at the end, right? For your well-being. So what would you like to say to your father? Like, do you have anything to say to him?
Yeah, I would like to say, after I realized that he's not angry with me, I can feel that he is caring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't have anything to say other than thanking him. I'd like to thank him that he bought me. Yeah, he's the one who bought me some changes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And how do you now envision your future to be?
So I'm nothing. I just want to go on with the flow. I want to live my life on my life's own drum. And my family, they are happy that if I stay clean and sober, they are happy. And possible, I'd like to continue serving for people like myself and attached with this center also.
For someone who is in recovery, is it very important to have a good support system, to have loved ones who would help you and support you in all times? And who all are in your life right now to do that?
Yeah, those are the most important person in individual's recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to say that for me, I have my dad, my brothers, sisters, yep, other relatives, and I have my counselors. Yes, those are the most important person in my recovery.
Okay. And talking about life, do you have any regrets in your life?
Regrets as such, I don't have anything. Yep, I don't have regrets.
Okay, that's a very positive attitude. And since you started your journey, how has your perspective in life changed? How have you changed as a person?
Before I came into the recovery, I was like self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I used to think about myself only. I can't think of others as well. So after coming to the recovery, I could at least think of others also. And I'm trying to help as far as possible in my own way.
And realizing that, you know, you need to change and you need to do something about your life, it's a big thing, it's a big step, but just realizing doesn't help. You know, you have to keep constantly pushing yourself. I think you have to be persistent. So what is that one thing that a person needs to be able to be persistent in that journey?
I would say that we have to be honest to ourselves, to others as well, and we have to be open-minded, and we have to have the willingness, someone like determination, to change. Yeah.
And I hope that you realize that you have all these things because you're here.
Yes.
Right now. And do you have like anything or anyone in your life that you are grateful for that you would like to mention?
First of all, I'd like to thank my dad, my brother and sisters, and my PC counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the center as well.
Okay, so thank you very much for telling your story, being brave enough to do that. And I wish you all the best, sir. I hope that you find happiness, you find hope, and you find light, and you get the strength to keep that light.
Yes, thank you, La.
That was Radio Diary, the recovery diary of Lam Dorji. We would like to wish him all the very best and many, many years of recovery. I hope his strength will inspire others to find the same strength in themselves. If you are struggling with addiction, seek help. You are not alone. Call 1257. I repeat, 1257 for Najan Lamtin and 02-333-111 for Chetan Pinde Association. I will be back next week with another story, another individual. Till then, goodbye and take care.